Hey, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of A Handful of Hope. My name is Jesse Brisenine, and today I'm super excited and grateful to have Mark here with us. Mark is the owner of Lifestyles. My thing just went away. Hang on 1 second, Mark. Mark is the owner of Lifestyles Fitness Personal Training, a business he has built from the ground up and operated since 2001. Mark has ridden the roller coaster of the financial crash of 08 and rebuilt his entire business that was about to collapse. Despite his extensive consulting, marketing, and sales background, Mark has learned that the best strategy for customer expansion and client retention is to fall in love with the people you serve. I love that. After working for a year in the Train the Trainer Live program with Jack Canfield, author of Success Principles and co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Mark is currently working on a book soon to be released in the fall. Plus, he is a professional speaker and success coach too. Welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Hey man, I'm always glad to be with you on any type of platform. So thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, you know, Mark, this is such an important thing, and I love that you updated your bio to include that. The concept of falling in love, and I want anybody here who's listening, who's a business owner, whether it's a small business or large business, a solopreneur, somebody who is employed or wants to be employed by a business. What Mark's going to talk about here, and if you do anything where you are serving someone else, mm-hmm. What Mark is going to talk about here today is so important. So I encourage you to listen carefully. And it's about falling in love with your customers, your clients. And I think Mark is so perfect to speak on this because he's lived this. And maybe, Mark, why don't you give just a little bit of context first of what led you to this, you know, what your experience has been like with this falling in love with your clients, like how your business was doing really well and then it kind of went down, and then the contrast of when you really started to focus on that, how it went back up again.
Oh, no, it's a beautiful question, because when I started this business 19 years ago, I was so excited to do something, you know, leaving my corporate job to go train people and serve people. I was absolutely so excited to have any type of client. And for many years, I would do anything you could think of. And when I talk about that is, if somebody said, oh, there's all these protein bars, I don't know which one to get, I would go out and buy like the three best ones, give it to them, and then explain why each one of these are good, and then give them examples of what's not so good. So understanding the difference between good ones and bad ones. If somebody had a problem, like somebody asked me a question one time about, oh, God, there's all these different oils. I don't know what oils to use for what, for cooking or whatever, or, you know, so I went and created a list, because all oils have a smoking point where they actually lose their benefit. And I said, these are the best oils to cook with, but here's the type, you know, like olive oil is an example. Like there's a lot of olive oils that you can use to saute. And then there's certain olive oils that you just dip with them. You don't cook with them at all, you know? And so some of the more refined ones are good for cooking, but not too high of a heat. If you want to do a higher heat, I'd say use grass-fed. But so it was all those things that when clients asked me questions or made a comment, I really wanted to do as much as I could in so many ways. Plus, I used to have client referral contests. I used to have a party at my house. I used to do all these things all the time to really show my clients how much I appreciate them, but more importantly, how much I love them, because I wouldn't have the life that I would have had. Now, fast forward, as you know, we went through a crash, you know, and all that back in 2008. And I went from basically five trainers and one admin to me. And, you know, I was able to rebuild it. I changed the business model. I learned a lot, you know, because when things go bad, we all can feel a victim for a moment. And I was very mad at 2008, like, because I had such a great year that came collapsing. But what I learned in that moment, Jesse, is this is when school's in. School's in and it's time to learn and figure this out if you're going to become a better entrepreneur. And so I did. And then I surrounded myself with other mentors. I went to a couple fitness marketing seminars and I met some great people. And so now bring me into the present here with you. And I felt like I was staying a little disconnected from my business. And it wasn't until I went to your seminar, Unlock My Greatness, and it just fucking hit me like a bolt of lightning. Like, dude, you are not in love with your clients like you used to be. It's like they become a roommate or like a nice one. And I could see and feel the difference when I was at your seminar and I said, you're just not doing what you used to do for people. You're not going out of your way. I'm still running the business, but I'm not running it with love. I mean, all day long, we could talk about metrics, marketing, sales, writing copy, which is stuff that I can do. But if you're not in love with your clients and you're staying connected with them, and that means seeing them in person, sending them a text, sending them an email, giving a phone call. And I wasn't really doing that as much. It became more of a mechanical business motion, if I was to describe it. And then when I was at your place, it's like, boom, like, you know, it's like I was like a horse with blinders and somebody just pulled him off and said, dude, you are not looking at the big picture. You are not giving the clients the love you used to give them.
God, it sounds so much like a parallel, Mark, to where you hear people will talk about relationships where they fail, right? They'll say, well, we just fell out of love because we just stopped doing those little things together, those little things that we used to do in the beginning. And, you know, right now, so many people are getting that gut punch of really looking at and saying, can I keep the doors open? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And I think many businesses are going to change. The landscape of business is going to change largely because we are always in our evolution. We're going to be competing with comfort, with emotion. We have these little devices now that their instant emotion delivers, right? We can watch, you know, we can swipe for dates. We can swipe for food that brings us comfort. We can push a button and have Netflix, whatever it is.
It's totally true.
Right? So if you're a business, so here's what's really important. We have to provide some sort of emotional experience, right, for people. Usually that's going to be the difference. And you know, even in Mark's story that he told, right, he starts out talling about how he's buying the protein bars and he's going through and telling about all the oils. And then as his business grows, there's no more buying the protein bars. There's no more doing those little things, just like in a relationship. You start to get comfortable in a relationship. You think, well, they got to love me because we're in a relationship, we're married, whatever. You stop buying flour.
Profitable.
Yeah, exactly. And so, okay, so you have this epiphany of like, you're not loving your clients anymore. You go back, you start doing that, your business takes off. What does that look like for someone? So someone who's hearing us and they're saying, okay, you know, that kind of makes sense. Maybe they're listening to this and they say, you know, that I get that. Like I've gotten so comfortable for so long. It's been a great economy. So it's been easy to kind of lay back because I'm the only game in town or whatever it is, but all of a sudden that's happening. If somebody is listening to this, they're saying, okay, Mark, I get that. I'm with you. How do I, though, tangibly go back and start to fall in love with my clients? What does that look like? What are some things that you did?
Well, it's easy. Because you have to stop and look at what you did when you were growing the business. And you were so invested emotionally in calling clients back in 5 minutes, texting them right away. Now you're kind of like, oh, it's all day. I'll call them after lunch or whatever. And you get... And you don't do it intentionally, but you get lax. You all get lax, and you kind of start to let some of that fade away, whether it's responding very quickly, whether it's giving them something that you know would be of value to them, but because they're paying you already, you forget all those little nuances of love that you used to extend to your people all the time. And you're making money, and you've got a big crowd, and it's... And then if you grow, it is harder. I will say it is harder to stay more emotionally connected to people. You have to hire other people and then make sure that they're doing the same thing. But in the end, it always comes back to you. You're the king. Wow. You're the king of the throne, and you need to make sure you're taking care of everything.
I love what you just said, the nuances of love. It's amazing in how much hearing you talk, it really parallels romantic relationships. Because it is, it's exactly the same. And for many of us, our business relationship is just as significant as a romantic relationship. Or if we're not in a romantic relationship, our business relationship, our relationship with our business is the most significant relationship we have. And that makes so much sense. So, okay, so somebody's coming back and they're hearing this and they're saying, okay, so I got to get back to the beginning. I got to retrace my steps almost and look back. I mean, do they start with a pen and paper and they start writing things down?
I agree. I would say for them to take the time tunnel back to that time and relax into it, maybe into a meditation before it, and really sit down and think about every single thing you used to do, that when you were growing that business, how you were insanely obsessed with making sure that everybody was getting what they needed, you were urgent in responding, all those things. whether it's sending an article on something. You know, one of the things I still do, and I started doing more of it, we also have, I think I gave you one, it was that Sombra stuff.
Yeah.
I still give clients that all the time. I said, I go, well, what's sore on you? And I'll rub it on their elbow for tendonitis, because I've had it twice in my right arm and once in my left. And they're like, oh, that stuff is wonderful and it smells so good. And I go, well, here's a jar for you. Take one home. And it almost becomes to the point where it becomes an instant reflex, which is what it was for me back then. Whereas after I saw you, I had to start to think about what I used to do. And now I look for every opportunity to the point that it becomes a habit again, a habit of love. But for a while there, I was just getting lax, comfortable, or not as engaged, because my brain also was focused on a future for myself, but I needed to take care of what was in front of me today. And that's what your seminar did for me. A lot more than that, but that was a big one for me.
So being insanely obsessed about how to do those little acts of love, mm-hmm. and recognizing that to create a future for yourself, you need to almost be obsessively focused on what's in front of you right now, what you can control right now, which is always going to be how you show up for your people.
Yeah. I mean, I have an 80-year-old client who loves beer. So every Christmas we buy each other beer.
Huh.
And he likes dark beer. So I always get him a dark beer, and he knows what I like. And, but we just do it, and it's kind of fun. Like, oh, he got me a 6-pack of that, and you know, whatever. And then one day, this is really cool. He was working out with me, and there was another client there of another trainer, and she actually works for the company 805 in California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me about an IPA that's low calorie. And of course me, I like IPAs. So she goes, oh, we've got a low calorie IPA called Flyjack. And so this is so funny and so cool. She brings in two cold cans. I'm like, you have this stuff cold? She goes, hey, how do you think I'm going to sell beer? So Pat's there, and I said, Pat got done with a session. I go, Pat, why don't you have a beer with me? And he sat down and he tried the beer out, and we're sitting in my, you know, my office and talking about it. It's moments like that that are just so cool.
Yeah.
And whereas before, when I had grown the business or I'd got two other guys running it, I wasn't there as much. I wasn't engaged. Where's Mark at? And I haven't hired another trainer, which is a good thing. But I came back to work part-time, and I've been doing that for a while, and I enjoy it. It keeps me engaged, and I like being back into the fold, because it's very important to my business, because it's my picture on the website. I mean, Drew's on there too, but like I said, I'm the one who needs to make things happen. I'm the one that's responsible for sharing that love and making sure it's genuine, and it is.
I love that. Mark, so right now, it's the date of this recording is March 24th, 2020. We're going through this huge time of uncertainty. We have the coronavirus, which has locked down much of the world. Businesses are closed. People have lost their job. Business owners are trying to contemplate closing the doors. Some people might not have access to their normal customers. The person who owns a restaurant doesn't have access to their customers that frequent the restaurant. The person who owns a barbershop doesn't have access to the people coming in. And they might be sitting here thinking, okay, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But the problem is I don't have touch point with my people right now. Mm-hmm. What would you say for those people during this time? Like how can they still love and fall in love with their people, even if they're not necessarily having them come into their facility right now? Do you have any tips or things that they could do?
Absolutely. Be very, very active on social media, emails. And that also includes phone calls, texts, which, again, you picked up the phone earlier. We have many ways to do that. Now, you brought up a barbershop, so I have a great example for you. One of my best friends, her and her husband, own a very a salon in Tempe, you know, and they do 7 figures a year. It's a big operation. So what they're doing, I just talked to her on the phone last night because I saw her post on social media that they have no choice. They have to decrease business. So she's hiring employees to keep them engaged, and she's having them do a lot of social media, which is a great idea to keep them active, paying them. So she included her employees in that, but also they're selling all the retail products like at a discount and gift cards to get people to, you know, hey, this is a great deal. I might as well get a gift card. I'm going to be back maybe in a month or two.
Yeah.
So it was a great response that I looked at. And, you know, I've also followed a lot of my mentors from 12, 10 years ago and see what they're doing too. I still follow them and see what they're doing. And they're doing a lot of online training, personal training, but other businesses, restaurants here, the government is allowing them to sell alcohol with food. Now, I don't know how they do that. There must be a way to do it, but they're at least opening up the avenues to say, go ahead and sell a margarita with your, you know, burrito.
Yeah.
So those are the things I would say is look, you know, to stay engaged with your clients through all those modes I just mentioned and do as much as you can. You know, even I know some trainers that are going in home mm-hmm. to say, well, I could take a few in-home clients. So I know I speak from the fitness perspective, but also from a restaurant. You know, I feel so bad for those people that lost their job overnight, literally overnight, because I was a server. I was in the industry for 12 years. When I went to college, I was a server. So to have my tips cut off instantly,
yeah,
I feel for them. So
just for everyone's edification too, at the time of this recording, which again is March 24th, 2020, Mark's over in Arizona. I'm in California. Arizona is not quite have some of the lockdown, social distancing, all the other things put in place yet that some other places too, like California or New York or some of the countries around the world. So we want to be transparent with that we're talking right now, and there's still some, Arizona doesn't have quite the same, as I'm understanding, correct, Mark? They still have some of the, not the same restrictions yet with certain things, but it's getting more.
No, you're correct. But I think the positive is most people are using good common sense, myself included. Like if I go to the grocery store, I get what I need and I get out. I usually go to self-serve. It's easier, you know. I'm a hand-washing freak, so I think people are doing a good job. And like you guys, all the restaurants, all the places are closed for the most part.
Mark, do you find so somebody's listening to this right now. They're saying, okay, I'm buying into that, falling in love with my client. You know, it resonates with me. It makes a lot of sense. There's totally little things I can do, but then the objection comes up of, I'm so busy right now. I already have so many demands on my time. That's just going to take so much more time. There's no way I can do it. Do you find that operating your business from that directive of falling in love with your clients, making that kind of mission point number one, does it take more or less time to operate your business under that umbrella, if you will?
Well, depending where your business is at. Right now, mine is easy. I'm not locked down into anything. I've got flexibility. We've got about 50% clients coming in, and we're looking to get other ones to come in on, possibly do online and start offering that, which would make us a little busier, which is good. But if they're listening to this now, you know, there could be an employee or somebody that could do social media so they can delegate a little bit. I'm a time master maniac. I mean, I went from working 16 hours to working 2 days a week at the studio while working at home and having a ton of flexibility. And it took me years to get to that point. So they have to decide where their business is at right now. What's the most important thing that they could do right now? Yes, it is time consuming to engage with your clients, but if you don't, somebody else will. So yeah. You got to start thinking about that. You know, competition can and will take your clients away. So they have to say, I didn't really hear from my trainer during the thing. I know they had issues going on, but that's not an excuse, you know? So you have a responsibility to stay engaged with your clients and yes, take care of your own stuff. You know, when we were talking about other things, I want to talk about this for a second on business. Mm-hmm. I'm going to apply for an SBA loan because I might as well. I'm going to see what the process is. I'm calling every creditor I know. I've already had a few things changed already, and I got a list of creditors I got to call, including my mortgage company. Now, some of the smaller bills I'm not worried about. It's the bigger bills, you know. And I've had some wonderful things happen already. So you have to take care of your own stuff, too, while taking care of your clients. You have to be proactive in this situation, period. You can't bury your head in the sand and worry about that you don't have toilet paper.
Yeah. It's certainly not going to fix everything except for maybe the trajectory of the expulsion. There's a visual. Mark, you said something too. If you don't do it, your competitors will. And I think that's a really important point to look at. So there's a lot of marketing. Anytime you scroll through Facebook real quick, you spend 5 minutes scrolling through Facebook, you'll see a lot of fear marketing out there. Like, you know, act now or this is going to go over. You're going to go, this is going to happen. Worst case scenario. And people will people often buy themselves out of fear because at somewhere at a deep unconscious level, they have this belief that another other side of fear is love and comfort, something like that, mm-hmm. hope, love, comfort, right? It's what they innately want. They may not have a language for that, but it's that sense that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think my observation right now is there's kind of this conflict of humanity maybe where we do have a lot of folks scared. We do have a lot of folks fearful, but we also have a lot of folks emerging more from a place of love, hope, really being more centered there, that they are looking at more, they're looking at what matters most to them as opposed to some of the metrics we've created as a society the last few years, our number of likes on social media, the number of followers on something like that, right? The quality of filter I'm using on my phone or whatever. And that's not to take that away from somebody who values that. Mm-hmm. What it is to say is maybe there's this shift going on right now, and that in so doing, when people are fearful, they're turning to comfort and love more. The point of saying that is to bring to Mark's point of, if you don't do it, your competitors will. I'm wondering, because you have a pretty extensive marketing background too, what is a marketing campaign? And I know this is kind of a big question, so mm-hmm. you can, and we're running a little short on time here, but if somebody were to come up with a marketing strategy, right, to market to their people, to connect with their people from a place of love, where would they begin with that? Is it going back to the beginning and building up there? Is it making a funnel for Facebook? Is it?
I actually think it's a simple response is start asking questions about how can I serve you right now? What can I do for you? Do you have any suggestions? If you start asking your clients what they need right now, they'll tell you. So rather than creating a campaign, your campaign should really be kind of a nice, brief, concise survey, which is what I'm going to do with my clients. I'm going to say, how are you guys doing? You know, how many of you might be interested in online training? We're looking at implementing it very, very soon, like in the next 2 days. Tell me if that's something you'd be interested in. Are you comfortable with Zoom? Are you comfortable with FaceTime? Do you know how to use them? You know, we could give you a tutorial. It's not that big of a deal. But find out what your clients need and want first, rather than trying to assume, you know, doing this campaign or anything like that. So that would be my approach. And I'm actually on a seminar in about a half hour to actually address some of these things. There's somebody that she's very well versed. I've talked to her before, and I'm going to see what she's going to talk about today because she's a smart, she's a fitness mentor. And so I want to see what she has to say.
That's so powerful though, because I think it perfectly illustrates the dichotomy of fear versus love, right? Fear is very reactionary. So we react and it's very me-centered. Fear comes up because we're so focused on ourselves and we're so focused on the worst case scenario that as it pertains to us, right? Mm-hmm. Love is usually more expansive. It's inclusive of others. It's often service first, right? Service of mm-hmm. others, doing things for others first. So somebody who's in fear or stress or anxiety and who's trying to go out and market from that, they're thinking, me, this is what I would need to hear. This is what I think everybody else needs.
Correct.
Somebody who's acting from love is thinking, not me, but we, not me, but they. What do my people need? You know, let me check in on them. Let me find out. And then asking them and then forming your strategy. Like, dude, so brilliant. So spot on.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. But I mean, that's where my love's going to is, what do they need? What help do they need? And after the seminar today, I'm going to start launching that, and I got to get with my other trainer Drew and say, hey, here's 5 people that want trained. Here's what we're going to do, and we'll try Zoom or we'll try FaceTime or both, whichever they prefer, whatever they're comfortable with, and let's roll with it. Because I already asked 2 clients already, and they're like, yeah, we'll do it. And there's 2 of them. It's a couple, so we need to get on that. So I said, let me get something straightened out with Drew, and let's roll with it, and then figure out what times work, because people might have a little more time right now, depending. But we have time too.
Yeah, it's like in a world where we feel like there's so many variables we can't control right now. The one variable we can control is how we show up for our people.
Absolutely. And ask them, like we said earlier, what do you need? How can I help you? What works best for you? What are you comfortable with? And some people, oh yeah, I know Zoom, or oh yeah, FaceTime, I got it on my phone. So just find it out, execute, serve, and deliver.
That's incredible. Mark, I got 3 rapid fire questions for you to close up. People are at home right now, a little bit extra time. Much of the world is in lockdown, isolation, self-isolation, shelter in placing, whatever the languages. If you could recommend people listen to one podcast during this time, what podcast would that be?
You know, I know this is probably cliche, but I kind of like Joe Rogan, only because he has such a variety of guests on, including people talking about this and other. I've listened to some of his, and he's good. And I like some of the guests he has. And he has all types of different guests, which I highly respect.
Book you'd recommend people read?
I'm reading a book called Unfuck Yourself, How to Get Out of Your Life and Into the World by John Gary Bishop. And it's a very good book. I just hit a major milestone today. And this is something that I'm sitting there going, oh, I've had this problem forever. He talks about you having expectations of situations and expectations of other people. And you set yourself up for disappointment. And I know this, but I'm reading it going, and at the same time, I'm like, well, what about plans or goals? And then he addresses that. But what he kind of says is, it's good to have plans and goals. But the one thing I've always learned, and I still struggle with it, is why don't people think like me? Why don't they clean stuff? Why don't they care like I do? Because they're not going to. Now, if you could find somebody that's like you, then God bless you, hang on to them and take great care of them as an employer, as whatever asset they are. But that's been my experience. You know what I mean? So
that was good, dude. And I appreciated the lengthier explanation why I was choking there. And movie or documentary you'd recommend people watch?
Oh God. I just started watching The Tiger King on Netflix.
I've been hearing that from a lot of people lately.
It's hard to turn off because you just don't know what's going to happen next. And there's an assortment of characters that have these, I don't want to tell you too much, different backgrounds, and you're just like, and then of course there's tigers in it too. But I haven't been glued to anything like that in a while. So it's the Tiger King, the documentary, and I still haven't finished it. I think I'm on the last episode, but I'm like, it's just insane beyond belief. And this is real. And you know, it was just highly entertaining in the real humanly fashion, I guess. You're just like, wow, how do these people get to this space? I mean, even if you think about that, somebody's doing that for a living, raising tigers, you know, and because most of us are fearful of them, but then you see how they use these tigers with people, and there's an animal activist in it too, and so there's a lot of tension, and I highly recommend that, The Tiger King.
Mark, dude, thank you so much for being here. Everybody, I encourage you again, if you're in a small business, big business, solopreneur, if you do anything, if you're an employee and you do anything where you're interacting with people, where people are your customers or your clients, this is such an invaluable thing to listen to right now. You know, love doesn't cost anything. All it takes is a little bit of time. And I love what he said about becoming obsessively, or no, what'd you say? Insanely obsessed over falling in love with your clients. I'm going to remember that today.
Not to the point of being a stalker, though.
Yeah. Not to the point of being a stalker, but insanely obsessed by showing your clients love, love and appreciation, love and gratitude for their service. And, you know, a lot of people right now, business owners, are trying to figure out how they're going to pivot, how they're going to evolve. No matter where you pivot, no matter where you evolve, always make sure that foundation is in love. Mm-hmm. And you might just see the magic return and expand in a much bigger way, much faster than you would have thought otherwise. So Mark, thank you so much for being here, man, sharing your gifts with us, sharing your wisdom, sharing your experience. I'm so grateful and appreciative of you. And this was incredible, man. Thank you.
And I just got one thing to say.
Yeah.
If you could get your hand on the two dials and turn up the faith meter and turn down the fear meter, you'll be way better off. And I do that every day in every way. And I feel fine right now. So.
Love that. Thanks, Mark, man. And then we'll see you next time, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, brother.